playing Dynasty.
Hey, guys. Andy and Sam here, as always. Hi, Sam.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you, Andy?
Good. Good, good, good. Well, we just got done talking about the Masters, so if you guys have not listened to our Master Hate Fest...
You should give that a listen.
It will make your day.
Or at least this will make your day.
Yeah, this one's going to be fun, too.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about, I guess, one of my suggestions for the summer. Not because it was a summer movie, but because we have a lot of free time in the summer.
Yeah, a great suggestion.
We're talking Beasts of the Southern Wild from 2012.
Yeah.
And I guess the cool part, I'll let you explain Beasts of the Southern Wild, Sam, but I got a kind of cool story. My sister went... For all of you who don't know, we're all Longhorns here,
yeah,
including my sister.
Yeah.
And my sister went to Alamo Draft House. I think I told you this story. She went to go watch Beasts of the Southern Wild at Alamo Draft House when it's still kind of limited release.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, they Skyped the producer or the director. I don't know if they're the same
person.
That's
right. I remember you telling me that.
But they're like in some kind of like Eastern European country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was like it was a really fucked up time zone.
Yeah.
But they were there talking and they're doing a question and answer session with everyone at the fucking Alamo Draft House.
Yeah.
But I watched this movie this Christmas.
Okay.
When it came out on video.
And I watched this over the summer.
Okay.
Just after your suggestion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so like I guess what made waves about this is that the actors aren't necessarily actors and the budget probably couldn't
yeah,
even count it as like a
stuff.
Movie budget.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Ciudad de Dios, actually, where they just took people who lived in the place and they were just like, we're going to run with it.
Essentially the same thing,
yeah.
Because they recorded in some part of Louisiana that I've definitely been to and forgot the name. Excuse me, you guys all have the same, like, every town in Louisiana looks the same between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. I lived in Baton Rouge, so.
Okay.
Anyway, so like, okay, so like we have a story about... well, you tell the story. I got, like, I don't know if you know the backstory between, like, the little girl and, like, the little girl's father.
I know the backstory between the little girl and her real-life mom.
Oh, okay. But, like, the father in this is actually the guy who owned a donut store that these guys would get donuts every morning when making the film.
Oh, and is this the one you told me, like, they kept asking him to be in the movie?
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I don't want to be in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually they kind of, like...
They convinced him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And he is in the movie, but the reason why he's in the movie as the dad was because they bought donuts for him every morning while shooting or doing principal photography for this movie.
Yeah. I remember you telling that. Okay, so basically what Beasts of the Southern Wild is about is almost like, I don't want to say it's a coming-of-age story because at the end of the movie, the little girl is still, you know, like a happy little girl.
Yeah.
But it's so, I can't describe how imaginative the film is.
Sure.
But basically, it's about a little girl, and they live in a small part of Louisiana that seems to be like an island. I think it's called the Washtub. Am I saying?
I thought it was the Bathtub.
This is the Bathtub. I can remember. They live in a small part of the island called the Bathtub, and I guess this is a little bit post-Katrina, and so that...
I thought it was like
it before?
Super post-Katrina, as in, like, I thought it was, like, the future, global warming sets in, and what happened was, like, there's that, so it's the Washtub, and then, like, where everyone else lives. And where everyone else lives, I assume, is essentially, like, New Orleans. And, like, these guys are left because it's, like, the levees have broken, there's nothing else there, but they don't
And the water is encroaching, which is something that's happening today in Louisiana in real life.
You have that a lot when, like, hurricanes come to New Orleans.
Yeah.
When I was in Baton Rouge, you know, everyone's freaking out whenever if it's a straight path to New Orleans. Everyone has, like, a family member who's like, I'm not leaving New Orleans. Like, okay. Yeah. You realize
it's
you're
unwise.
Below sea level already.
Yeah,
so,
it's unwise.
I assume that what it was is it's in the future.
Okay.
They didn't want to leave their land.
Okay.
And it's like, if you don't leave the land, we're building this thing. You guys are going to be cut off from civilization.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. So, basically the people in the bathtub refuse to leave the island and they're living almost like, I guess like heretics or like, I guess the way that the regular people of New Orleans would see them would be kind of like outsiders or like.
Definitely outsiders are kind of like.
Barbarians almost.
Almost kind of like squatters, but no one wants their land.
Yeah, kind of like that. They all live in this place, and they don't run to leave. And what happens throughout the story is that, I guess, the levees break or something happens. Maybe there's a big storm.
Definitely like some sort of like a global warming.
Yeah, and a lot of people leave the bathtub, and they go to you know, wherever New Orleans or whatever part of Louisiana is habitable and safe.
Right.
Except for the main character and her friends and family, her close friends and family. I'll give you the actress's name because she's so adorable and badass. And her IMDb actually tells you how to say her name because it's kind of a unique name. It's Quavenzhané Wallace. I'm calling her Q because she's cute. And she plays a character named Hush Puppy. And she's really the main character in this movie. And if you were to generalize it as much as you could, a film like this,
sure,
you would say it's a coming-of-age story for Hush Puppy. Although not really, because she's always been a badass.
She's very independent. And you get the sense that the dad is doing that on purpose. The dad also seems like he has mental problems.
Yeah, the dad seems like...
unstable.
Yeah, he just seems like borderline or something. Like, he's just really intense.
Yes.
And kind of unpredictable. Like, almost like he's bipolar or something like that.
I think
or,
that's what they're going
has some
for.
Sort of
something bipolar thing where it's like, at one time he wants to see her, and other times, like, go away.
Yeah. And it's basically their story and what happens to them after the storm or the levee breaks or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll basically give you just a rundown. It could be kind of a spoiler, but not really for what the meat...
Not really. There's a lot more to it.
Yeah, the meat of the story isn't actually what happens, like, physically to the characters.
Yeah.
Basically, the levee breaks or whatever. The storm happens.
Yeah.
They survive, mm-hmm. and then they try to get... They're, like, low on supplies because it's literally just, like, a run-down shanty town.
Yeah, it's nothing. And it's almost like...
Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies. I was trying to think of, like, remember the scene in Forrest Gump? I'm using this example because people, everyone and their mom's seen Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
But when he goes to visit the guy who runs the shrimp boat.
Oh,
and he goes
yeah.
To visit the
Gump.
Family. Yeah. When you go see, and when you go over there and you see, like, those shitty boats.
Yeah.
And, like, those shitty houses. Think of those shitty boats run aground and turned into houses.
Yeah. That's basically it.
Yeah.
And it's very rinky dink. But they run low on supplies, so they...
Self-sufficient, to say the least. They always do...
Everything is on their own.
Because they're cut off.
They're trying... And, like, they prefer it that way. They remain very serious in how independent and away from normal society they can be. Like, that's important to them.
And I think that part of the issue there is if they... Once they cannot... sustain themselves and be self-sufficient, that's when they know that the government's going to come in and just scoop them up and take them away from the bathtub.
Yeah, and since they're poor.
They have, it's not, there's no economy.
Poor. Yeah, they're, I mean, it's just like
camping.
It's like camping forever. But they don't have supplies, so they have to find a way to get supplies. They try to go into the habitable parts of Louisiana, and then they get caught.
Yeah.
And then they get put into... kind of like a rescue zone or like a refugee zone for people like this.
That's when you're making parallels with Katrina, especially.
Definitely. Like some of the clinic, some of the stories from the clinics and stuff.
Yeah.
Very similar to what's happening in Beast of the Southern Wild. And then they escape that, and they return to the bathtub.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of where the story ends, but a lot of stuff happens,
and it's
throughout.
Like a short, it's a shorter movie. I think it's like 85. Is it less than an hour and a half, or is it an hour and a half legit?
I think it says 93 minutes.
Okay, so that's pretty short.
Yeah, it's
a lot of stuff happens.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happens for 93 minutes, and that's basically the rundown, the basics of the story without giving away really meaningful spoilers.
How much was the budget?
The budget was $1.8 million. Mm-hmm. So I bet when your sister saw it, they were like a little bit worried. Not necessarily that they're going to make their money back, but they were worried about how big it was going to get.
Yeah, sure.
Because
you don't quite know with a movie like this.
Yeah, because the movie got pretty big. Its opening weekend was only $169,000. Not that much, but its gross for right now, up to March 15th, that's what IMDb says, is $12 million. So they've made their... They've gotten their return like sixfold, which is huge for a film like this with... and that's due in part to the fact that they did use native people who just worked around where they were filming.
Yeah, Donut Man.
Yeah, and the director isn't a huge name yet, although I imagine he will be.
I've seen a couple of his shorts. He's part of like another kind of like a collective of directors and filmmakers.
Oh, okay, cool.
And is there something called The Tin Man on there?
I'm not seeing it. Maybe he's not doing that one.
There's
his name is Ben... Ben Zeitlin or Zeitlin.
Yeah, and he's part of a group of guys that kind of started doing like little shorts that were put on YouTube and like were pretty solid. I know a lot of kids. That was like, man, I was in high school when that was happening though.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, and that's how a lot of like my sister and like the crowd of kids of UT know about these people. Is that they're like a collective of directors and movie producers that make these shorts by themselves.
That's awesome.
So, and that one was like a black and white feature.
Yeah.
But this one, Beast of the Southern Wild, I mean, 1.8 million, and you make a movie like this, and it's to be commended.
Yeah, and it's gotten Oscar buzz. And
yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, if you think about it, when you watch it, is there any time in the movie where it's like, okay, you guys made this on a shoestring budget? Where
no, there's the only thing I would say looks kind of cheaper. Is you could tell that they didn't have a lot of time to film it.
Yeah.
And so they were just like, you know what? With the type of story we're trying to tell, we don't need like beautiful cinematic shots.
Right.
This doesn't have to be something like Paul Thomas Anderson
where
they can have those perfect tracking shots, or Wes Anderson with those perfect tracking shots. Terrence Malick with those sweeping shots. Mm-hmm. You don't need anything like that. That's not what they're going for.
Because and this is almost feels like nature is almost against these people at the same
time. Yeah, the entire movie feels desperate in the best way possible.
Yeah.
Like like you have a sense of immediacy and importance that's missing from I guess most films today.
Yeah.
There's just an importance and like I don't know how else to explain it.
Right.
But so what would you say are your high points?
High point is probably the same high point as yours, aside from the fact that they made so much movie for the amount of money they spent.
Yeah, this is
not to mention
incredible.
The fact that when you actually see the beasts,
yeah.
That doesn't look like that. That looks like they spent $1.8 million on the fucking beast.
Yeah.
That's what I was impressed about.
They look very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of like, what is that movie? Man, I can't remember the name of the movie. But there was another movie where I remember watching, and there were like giant creatures that
was it Where the Wild Things Are?
No, it's not Where the Wild Things Are. No, it was like that's like an old movie from the 80s. They used like claymation, but they did it in a way that didn't make it look cheesy or anything.
Yeah,
it looks like very believable. And in this, they did the same thing.
The performances are pretty good. I mean, performances you could say. There's lots of people in the movie, but not so many people have big parts aside from the dad and the girl.
Yeah,
and the girl was a standout.
Yeah,
she was fantastic.
Yeah, they're very very good. I remember reading about the little girl. It's actually her mom who kind of okayed everything. Obviously,
yeah,
she's only like I don't know how old she is now.
She was really young, and they were impressed that this girl could read.
She was born in 2003, so she was probably 8 or 9 when they filmed this.
Yeah, like she could read spot on like the script that they made for, and they were just impressed.
Yeah,
and she's extremely bright.
She's absurdly good. I mean, just to give you like a heads up, her next movie is Steve McQueen's 12 Years a Slave, which is. Yeah. Probably going to be
and
fantastic.
Not to mention like 2 more movies in the pipeline.
Yeah, like yeah, she's gonna be going places, and she seems so like sweet and genuine.
Yeah,
and all the stuff I've like the interviews and stuff that I've seen from her, and her mom is too.
Yeah,
no one is really. It doesn't like when you're watching it, they're acting so well, you can't really tell like they're acting. This could just be. Like a documentary about
the girl is my high point. Are you saying that she's the high point for you too?
Yeah, she's amazing.
Cool.
She's amazing.
What about your low point?
My low point would probably be some of the camera work. I know that's due in part to the fact that they didn't have a great budget. I don't know if the film if this was filmed in like physical film. This might be a digital film that has.
I'm guessing digital.
I would guess digital too, just because one, it's cheaper. Two, it's a lot faster to produce, and this wasn't shot over a long period of time. I think it took them like 3 or 4 weeks.
It was really fast.
Yeah, and they had to be very mobile and portable because literally parts of the landscape they were filming on were being physically encroached by water.
They're eroding.
Yeah, I know the part where there's a part kind of earlier on in the movie where Hush Puppy punches her dad, and her dad like has a seizure because he's like physically hurt. He has like a seizure or something. And she's mad at first, but then she tries to find like the village kind of like doctor, and the doctor makes like some sort of thing in a jar, like some sort of solution. And she takes the jar and she hides it in this tree. And I remember reading the reason why they weren't really able to get another shot of that tree is because it was underwater when they came back to it.
Nice.
So like they had like the film is shot in a way that's desperate because literally. Their location is disappearing.
Yeah.
And I think that lends itself to making a great making a great point for how important, like the like it lends itself to how immediate and visceral the film seems.
I can see that.
With everything that happens.
Yeah. I mean, the camera angle sometimes is frantic and sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So my low point was I just didn't like how it was shot sometimes. There's a lot of use of shaky cam. I totally understand why.
Yeah.
I just don't like that.
Sure.
I just don't like
that. Well, it feels weird that shaky cam's in this movie at all. But it's asked to, like, that's the thing. I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My low point actually is kind of like a double-edged sword with like the father-daughter dynamic.
Oh, okay.
I felt really uncomfortable sometimes watching the dad who's probably a little bit mental with the daughter. Some of those things is like, yeah, like I get you're doing
it
that.
It seems
thing
dangerous.
Like, yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's unsettling.
Yeah.
And that's not like they did that on purpose, I understand, but I just didn't like it. And, you know, when stuff like that happens and then you see it, like, the scenes when they go to the camp and, something happens where she has to go from the camp.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like maybe that little daddy dynamic at the beginning of the movie takes away from the point of
independence.
Yeah. So, I think what I was most impressed about this movie is just the bang for the buck.
Yeah.
Like, you can make a movie that is, okay, so $32 million for The Master.
Yeah.
$1.8 million for Beast of Southern Wild.
Yeah.
Right?
Just think about that.
Yeah.
That's about $2 million. So you could have made like...
And the budget, they made it back sixfold. They haven't made half their budget back.
For The Master, yeah. You could have made 16 stories like Beast of the Southern Wild. Think of it that way.
Well, I'm looking forward to the next movie they're going to make. Because,
yeah, it's going
like,
to be...
Maybe they'll double their budget this time.
Yeah, it's...
Right?
Yeah, it's going to be very good. Yeah, this director definitely has chops.
Yeah.
Like, insanely good storytelling. Like, this is on the completely opposite spectrum from The Master.
And to think about what they could do with such limited funds.
Yeah.
So, if you give him the right tools... And I think he's the type of guy with the group of people who make these movies that they're going to keep on making him in this vein. They're not one to go and be like, and now for Transformers 4. You know? Like,
exactly,
but this story was unique, which I think it lends itself to a watch, even if it's, like, not your type of movie.
Yeah. I mean... I think another parallel with The Master, or not parallel, but perpendicular, I don't know, from The Master, is that The Master didn't really take any chances. It played it pretty safe throughout. And this movie intentionally took as many chances as possible. Like with your low point of the father-son relationship being kind of dire and scary at some points, I think like it did that on purpose to make it seem more emotional. And I like that it did those things because it wasn't afraid, you know?
Sure.
It kind of... bodes well for the future of contemporary directors because they're not pussies.
Yeah, exactly. These guys took shots, and I'd say more often than not, they worked out. What say you on a 10-point scale? Do you want me to do the 10-point scale since I guess it was...
Oh, yeah, you can go first, yeah.
I mean, no, you go first. I feel weird being the first one.
Okay,
I Leave
gave,
me.
I gave this an 8, like a really strong 8.
Yeah.
Because I liked it a lot. Some of the shooting stuff... I dislike to the point where like I kind of got dizzy at some parts.
Yeah,
like it hurt my head kind of.
Well, especially during the storm scene.
Yeah, and at the very beginning when they have the fireworks and stuff, I was like, this is really awesome celebratory, but it's also kind of hurting my head.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, like fantastic story. It has a great message if you kind of like buy into what it's trying to achieve, and just great visuals, great use of emotion to make something seem not sappy or not over the top.
Oh, yeah. And it does all that, and you still feel for the characters.
Yeah.
So, like, I think, and I'm giving it an 8 as well.
Okay.
basically, it's a great movie. It's a great movie to watch.
Yeah, it's just a...
It's just one of those things where it's like, I don't know, like a 9 is a lot, and an 8.5 is a lot because I like The Professional, right? But with Beasts, I'm just so impressed that you can do so much with so little, and this girl was great.
Yeah, it's just...
I mean, just looking at, like, the poster for this movie...
Yeah.
That pretty much sums up the movie.
Yeah.
It's about life. It's kind of like a celebration at the same time of life, but also
it's
kind of like the trials of it as well.
Yeah, it's almost like the trials of life and death, and that it like the main message is basically you shouldn't be afraid of death because it's something that happens.
Yeah.
But instead of being sad and wallowing about it, because they do this when they do this right after the big storm happens. Instead of being sad about everyone, they celebrate the vibrant and interesting lives that their friends and family got to live.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think that's a great message.
Yeah, that's a great message.
And it handled it in a very good way that didn't make it seem
over the top. Fairly good soundtrack too to go along with it.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
But yeah, I'd say it's an 8 from me, 8 from Sam.
Yeah.
Worth the watch.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely check it out if it's on Netflix or...
It's not on Netflix. It's a sad thing. I would say buy it. Buy it. It's like, it's probably cheap to buy too since the studio is so...
Small.
Yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely a must see. Well, thanks everybody for listening. And we always appreciate your questions, comments, and other such commentary.
Yes.
And thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.